Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
I'm just singing along with that music, Todd. You know that tune, our opening theme. You know that tune, don't you, Todd? What's that tune?
I do. I call it the opening theme for Movies Hate You. That's the name I gave it.
Are you saying that we had someone compose it for us?
No, I'm saying that you sent me the pieces, and I compiled them much like Frankenstein.
So you don't know where that's from?
Well, I know where it's from.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm just saying I know also... Yeah, you get it. You get it. You know what I'm saying. Because it's more than just one thing. It's a few things in there. So
a couple different things in there, yeah.
It's making a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're making a difference around here, by God.
We are. I think you're making a difference, Todd.
One day at a time.
With the whole... Wait, wasn't that... Is that the TV show?
It was.
You're just referencing... Are you the Schneider of the station?
Do
you
no, I am the pop culture guru of Jackalope Radio.
Kind of like the Schneider, though. I mean, you keep things in order. You have a big keychain and make sure all the doors are working and everybody is doing what they're supposed to do and not getting into any kind of trouble.
Yeah, you shouldn't call me Schneider, though. I mean, I'm not the janitor.
Dude, he wasn't a janitor, dude. Dude was the super. I mean,
he was a super. I thought he answered to someone because he would go around and fix everything. I mean, he was the handyman.
No, he was the super. That's what the super does.
And he always waded through the poop, man. He always waded through the poop. And the poop he had to wade through was Bonnie Franklin.
No, he had to wade through Bonnie Franklin's poop. All those
talentless Bonnie Franklin.
Talentless Bonnie Franklin.
And Mackenzie Phillips. He had to wade through Mackenzie Phillips' leftover, Yeah, I won't even go into that because I don't know. It's a family show. I shouldn't say what he had to wade through of Mackenzie Phillips, but there were broken needles involved and some other things.
What is this? Hey, first of all, who in the world has a beef with the cast of One Day at a Time?
Listen, I mean,
except, the most innocuous show ever made.
Thank God Schneider and Valerie Bertinelli were there, because if it wasn't for them, why would you watch that show?
I watched it for Schneider, man. I related to Schneider. Where I come from, Schneider's a hero, man.
That's why you currently are the super for an apartment building. That's your day job.
I wish I was. I could stay home and do more radio.
There you go.
I could have 3 or 4 shows like other people on the station.
Do you have a lucky rabbit's foot, though?
No, but I do have a keychain.
Wow, okay.
Huh. This is you've brought up something interesting to me. I feel like perhaps I can pursue something like this. I mean, I'm handy enough. I know when to call somebody.
You could do this.
I mean, like if the pipes are leaking, I just call somebody, right? Is that what the super does?
That's what he does. Well, you could call somebody because God knows you can't write to him. You've got a dang person who's trying to set you off on a new promotional utopia and you can't even write to him.
Oh, we're gonna get personal, are we? we're gonna break the second wall of radio here talking about the personal stuff. May I just say, you better watch yourself, sir. where I'm going to file a complaint with the complaint box over on the wall there.
I understand that you installed, yes.
You know, not that anyone will ever hear this show, because it probably won't air when it's supposed to.
I know. Golly.
All right, it's all right, though. You know, no one's complaining.
The good news is at least something airs that sounds like your voice, and that's important.
Something airs. But people tell me it's the same show. Every link they click on, it's the third show for some reason.
It's not the third show. Like, what's wrong with these people?
And then people are like, how many times are you going to have 40 seconds to repeat on your show? And it's like, no, he's only been on a couple times. No, and I've heard six shows and he's been on every show. Like, you're listening to the same show over and over.
What's wrong with these people?
Thank you, Jackalo. The EIB network, here we come.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome.
It's so not awesome. I have millions of fans out there that want to hear what I have to say, and they just can't hear it. They have to call me up.
Look here. I'm going to go right now while we're on live on the show, while you're talking, I'm going to the archives, and I'm going to look, and I'm going to see what the heck they're talking about, because I know I had these archives all fixed.
All right. Now, here we go. Could you play our show during our show? You know, can you play Movies Hate You during Movies Hate You? It's kind of meta.
I can, but it's different. Now, see? Okay, I'm looking. All these shows are different shows.
How are you looking at radio?
I'm looking right now at your archives.
Okay.
These shows are all new shows. They're nice.
No, but when you click on them, what you actually hear...
Well,
you know,
because I'm looking at the actual file at this point. I'm in the server directory looking at the file of your archives, and these are all linked correctly.
You're in the back room of this bar right now. Is that what you're saying? You're kind of in the... You're in the wizard spot right now.
I'm in the thick of it.
You're behind the curtain pulling those levers. All right, so every show is labeled differently, but... If, let's say, one was mislabeled, couldn't it be that the same show could play twice in the archive, even though it was listed as a different show?
It could be.
This is kind of the kind of suggestion box of Jackalope tonight. Movies Hate You is kind of like, we're going to talk about Jackalope tonight. We're going to talk about all the little nuances about Jackalope that make us love it so. Is there like a mean... fat old white guy with a cigar somewhere that we can like say, oh, they're the owner of Jackalope, you know, he's cheap. This is why this happens, Rob. I'm sorry. Can we create someone like that? Can we have a fall guy, so to speak?
You're going to be the fall guy. From now on, I'm going to send all the complaint department to you since you have the complaint box on the wall.
How many complaints do you get in a week?
Actually, to be honest with you, this is the cool part. Out of all the thousands of people listening to the different shows, I think we get maybe two, maybe three. Now, if sometimes Pete's show, we'll get like six during the show. Because he's found a way to offend everybody.
I wouldn't think that, you know, knowing Pete. And I'm kind of shocked at that. Really? He offended someone and they wrote?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And I have a couple others. Jason Oblivion's show, the Another Damn Talk Show. It's on Sundays live at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Man, I'll get Oh, yeah. He offends everybody. It's great.
But isn't that, I mean, in entertainment, that's good, a reaction.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, it's like, listen, in my opinion, my humble owner of this station opinion, I'm not going to censor anybody here. The only thing I'm going to do is Monday through Friday and on Sundays, we stay FCC compliant. Saturdays are our raw night for radio. If you're offended easily, I don't know why you would tune into something called Savage Saturdays, Uncut and Raw anyway. But listen, man, the PC movement, it sucks. It's not going to happen here. I don't support it. It's a piece of Duke, period.
Well, I mean, is it spelled out clearly to the listener?
It is, because honestly, man, let's be square. You know what? What one first person finds offensive, another doesn't. Honestly, let's use Walmart as an example. The movies they will carry and the music they will carry and the stuff they won't carry. Like, I'd much rather have my child buying Evil Dead there than an Eminem movie, okay? I'm offended by the wrestlers that they sell in the toy aisle instead of Batman, who's been around since 1939. They'll sell Steroid King, Let Me Kill My Family in Their Sleep wrestlers, action figures. but to kids, but they won't sell Batman toys anymore. I mean, they do, but they don't, and it's like a mess, and I'm going...
Well, why do you think that is? Wait, they don't sell... Because he has devil horns, man.
Man, it's here where I live. Now, by you, they still got Batman. I know this for a fact, but here...
We got Batman walking down the street over here.
That's seriously. Well, it's true.
Got Batman in Hoboken. Do you know that? There's
I do.
Batman. Yeah, there's a Batman that walks around 5 minutes from here. Rides a bike around.
You should kick him in the shin, though, for not upholding the cowl.
But is he fighting crime? That's what's important.
That's my point. Because if he's not fighting crime. If he's not fighting crime, then what good is he?
He's doing better than that. He is actually keeping the legend alive. He is keeping the myth, the folklore, the mystery of Batman alive. Is that the real Batman? I don't know.
Of course it isn't. He's in Hoboken.
Hoboken's not much different than Gotham.
It's a lot different.
It's very...
For one thing, your Batman rides around with a tuna on rye on a goddamn bicycle, where the real Batman in Gotham stands on top of buildings and swoops down and beats people in the head. They're criminals.
I'll argue that my Batman is more real than your Batman.
you'll lose.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to reality...
And tuna.
Hey, oh, so Bruce Wayne doesn't eat, right? How can we never see him eat?
You do see him eat, don't you? Have you not
when
ever
you
seen
him eat?
Hold on. He had vichyssoise, and he was freaking out because it was cold in Batman Returns. Do you not remember this? He also ate with Kim Basinger in the original Batman.
That brings up a good thing, and it's one of the only good things about the Tim Burton Batman movies. Is
I
that
love them.
There is, and I remember back in college when I was 13 writing about Batman Returns, and I said, while it's a lousy, disjointed masturbation piece for Tim Burton,
you know, like, you're wrong. You're wrong. A mini love blasphemer.
You could let me speak, and then you can yell at me.
Okay.
While it's a complete, failure on almost every level, where it's not a failure, besides the Catwoman suit, is that they show Batman after a battle, and he's back in the Batcave, and he's like looking at, ripping off his costume, and he's got stuff stuck in him, and he's wounded, and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, here is something you haven't seen. Here is the this is just a man. He's not a superhero. He's just a man in a suit making a fool of himself, basically. You know what I mean? And I'm not dissing Batman. Batman's a great character. But I'm saying Tim Burton, in that scene, has broken it down to, like, it's just a guy who went out there, thought he could do something, and he couldn't do it as well as he thought, and he got hurt doing it. He's human like the rest of us. I thought that was a great moment in Batman Returns. And the same with Batman, he's on a date. I mean, what's up with the Christian Bale thing? It's like a total boy fantasy thing. There's no realistic.
It's kind of hard to date a chick that just got blown up in a fire.
Oh, come on, man! Come on, man! Don't blindly defend things.
It's true. She got blown up. Did you not see The Dark Knight? She was blown to smithereens.
What about the first one? I didn't see him on a date in the first movie.
He was trying to reconcile with her in the first movie. He had been away. He came back. He was trying to hook back up with her, if you remember. And before he even had a chance, some douche swoops in named Harvey Dent and tries to sweep her off her feet, and then she gets blown up. He really didn't have a chance.
That was in Batman Begins? Wait a minute, you're mixing up your Batman.
No,
movies.
Batman Begins. He was trying. He at the end they were trying to reconcile. Then it goes to the next movie, and she was unsure of what the heck to make of Bruce. And all of a sudden, Harvey Dent comes in like the night and sweeps her off her feet, and then she got blown up. So they were kind of tied together. But let me hold on. Let me say something about Burton before we go further.
Oh, yeah, you were mad at me.
I respect everyone's opinion to have a shitty opinion. But let me come back in.
Thank you. Thanks for keeping it clean on the show.
Oh, sorry. Yourself, that's right. That's right. This is not on Savage Saturday. So now
this is not Savage Saturday. This is Simple Sunday.
That's right.
Simple Sunday. But keep it really kind of light. Boring, and the Sunday night people, they've been in church all day. They just want to come home and hear some talk. They don't want to hear about Rick Santorum. They don't want to hear about the debate on abortion. They don't want to hear this stuff. They want to hear about these guys were talking about Batman. It's really cool. I remember Batman when I was 3 years old on TV. Adam West, blah blah blah. And then we bring up these memories for them, and we have very pleasant voices.
Yeah, we try until you dog it out
at each other. We're not yelling. Tim Burton's a loser.
let me tell you a story here, buddy, okay? Because I thought, honestly, I was so pleased. And I worked for Warner's at the time, and I was very nervous. And I was very upset when I was reading the casting, and I was just really starting to get nervous. Here's my favorite character of all time. What are they going to do? And I sat down in that movie theater. The lights darkened. And to this day, I'm sitting here looking at Michael Keaton's cowl from that first movie. It's sitting here looking at me because my buddy at Warner Brothers hooked me up, and I have one. And let me tell you, I still get goosebumps on that opening scene on the rooftop. The guys are sitting there. They just robbed a lady, and he comes down behind them and holds that guy out, says, "I'm Batman." I just love that. I loved everything about it. The only complaint I have about either of the Batman movies, and this is a mild complaint, I know, but at the end of part two, my major complaint is that when he's trying to save Selina, and even though I understand the motivation for the character, Batman would have never reached up and tore his dang cowl off. I mean, it just would not have happened that way. And that's the only complaint I have, is that he tore his mask off in front of everybody. That would have never happened. I mean, because Batman has the training, the intellectual training, and all the years that he's really fought to maintain this integrity in his mind, that even if he was going to save someone, he wouldn't have to rip the mask off to do it, because that's a most important part of the character. You don't show that side of you. And that was my only complaint. I thought it was beautiful.
But that's the whole point, man. Storytelling says this guy is, whatever feelings he's going through, he broke down that wall, man.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have to do it.
You can't say what he can or can't do. Tim Burton's Batman did that.
I know he did, and it frustrated me, but that's the only part of because I felt like both movies were impeccable in their set design. I thought they were gorgeous. I mean, every shot in Batman Returns looks like a painting. I thought it was an interesting and bold, yes, I said bold choice to have Danny DeVito be this grotesque penguin creature. I thought that was a bold choice that at the time, especially at the time, was unheard of, because villains back then were comical but never dark, if you remember when these movies came out. And I thought it was Jack Nicholson was brilliant in the first one. I thought he brought the comic Joker of the time to life. And so I personally hold those movies in super high regard. Now, I admit, you know, the Schumacher stuff, I disown it, because I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Why does
Two-Face don't like the good ones?
Whatever. Why does Two-Face have this bright pink head? Yeah. But I do love Burton. I love what he did. And I love the fact that, like you said, he took the character like many people before him, Frank Miller, you know. I loved this, you know, Jeff Matsuda's version, the animated version that he did, Paul Dini. Everyone takes the character, and as long as they maintain the integrity and the honor of that character, they can turn it into whatever they want, as long as Batman himself stays true. That's the thing, even about the 1966 show, a lot of people, I mean, Michael Uslan's a buddy of mine, he doesn't, and he owns the Batman franchise, and he doesn't like the 66 version for many reasons. He gives it credit, though, for at least keeping the integrity of the character. Adam West kept the integrity. Everything around him was zany and nutso and like a Monkees episode, but he had that integrity. Then you move on to now, and I believe Burton kept the integrity of the character, even though the chaos that was filling the world had changed. And Jeff Matsuda, people were complaining, oh, this new animated series, the Joker doesn't have shoes, everyone's nuts. I was like, yeah, but the integrity of the character, give it a chance, get into the storytelling, and as long as that integrity of that character is intact, unlike Schumacher, who tossed all of that out the window, that's the problem I have with his films. Because, I mean, Batman's never going to sit there arguing with Robin and getting in a big old fight and, I never leave home without it. The bat card. Whip out the bat card to buy Poison Ivy. Really? I mean, it just got to the point where it was like, you've lost the integrity. The guy had no vision of what the character was. And I know I'm a weirdo because I take this so seriously, but this is my hero since I was born, pretty much. And so I'm very serious about it, because his message to me was a very honorable, moralistic message. He didn't kill his enemies. He put them in jail, or he put them in the asylum where they belonged. He was a very cool character. Bob Kane was brilliant, and we all owe him a great debt, because honestly, without Batman, we wouldn't have probably most of the other characters we have today.
Well, yeah.
I'm done with my rant. I'll let you have the rest of the show.
Well, you're listening to the Batman Hour. This was long overdue, man. The bat talk. This was long overdue, man. You've never done this before.
I know. Then this is why I get too impassioned and then I talk
too
much.
At least you're taking over my show with Batman talk and not something else.
I don't want to take over your show, man.
No, that's you're here. We're taking over the show together, man. Oh, what show is this? Oh, by the way, yes, it is the Movies Hate You show.
Brought to you by BMovies.com.
It's just brought to you by BMovie.com.
That's right, BMovie.com.
BMovie, there's no S there.
I got excited for a second. Yeah.
There are movies there. It's actually BMovie, B-movie.com. And there's a, they have a whole bunch of stuff there you'll like. If you like movies, but if you like Batman, I don't know if you'll find anything there. But if you like movies, you'll find a bunch of stuff there.
You know what they need to do? They need to hook us up with a code that we can give out to our loyal friends that listen every week. And yeah. Like maybe they'll get like a buck off or something.
I like that. Or even a free DVD or something. You know, buy anything. Three, get one free.
Yeah, do them right. Do them right, man.
There's a bunch of stuff coming out this week on BMovie.com. I'll just throw out some names to you. Bong of the Dead. Does that sound like something you would watch?
No.
Okay.
I'm tired of zombies, and I'm definitely tired of stoner movies.
There was some decent buzz on that movie.
I've heard there is, but I'm just not. I got to be honest. I'm so frustrated with that because it's okay to have like stoner movies all through the Midwest. Because let's face it, this is the meth capital of America here, where I live. But
where do you think they sell these? All these.
That's
movies?
Where they go. That's exactly yeah. right. I mean that
they
and Days
of Family Video.
Exactly.
Well,
golly, you should put Night of the Living Dead Stoners, and you'll make $1 million, man.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Night of the Living Dead Stoners. Night of the Living Head. How about that? Get it? Like head shop?
Like
Night
the
of the Living Head Shop.
Yeah, that's better because the other one made me think of like zombie monkeys walking around singing, "Here we come, walk down the street, gonna eat the arms of everyone we meet."
You know, Head is one of my favorite movies of
it
all
is
time.
It is nuts. I like it too. It's We're the really undead good. Monkeys!
Right. I don't know. I think the monkeys might be played out.
Not as much as zombies are. Jesus. Oh, I'm so tired.
For some reason, they keep selling.
Well,
it's time.
Know, it's, when you start going into Walmart and they're selling little zombies in the quarter machines, it's over. It's over at this point.
I don't know, man. Wouldn't that be cool if when we were kids, they had little, you had just seen Dawn of the Dead for the first time? You're 10 years old and you're 13 years old, whatever, and you go to the store and you can like buy a little toy zombie and it's right there. That'd be kind
of I don't
cool.
know because the thing about Dawn of the Dead was it was the proverbial bad movie, man. And if you got to see that movie, you were the coolest kid for a day or two because, man, you came in and you're like, ha-ha, I saw something you'll never see. It was your little thing. It was the underground and it was cooler. It was like not every kid had seen Dawn of the Dead. That was your little thing. There was like 5 kids in the whole city that had seen it and you're one of them. It's kind of neat, you know?
Well, it was very difficult to see that movie because it was, you know, it was no one under 17 admitted and it was a midnight show. But I don't think it was a bad, ultimate bad movie. It was actually the gore.
Well, it was just the way people talked about it at the time. Oh, my God, that movie, it says no kids at all can see it. Oh, what are we, you know? It was, I mean, let's be honest. They really played up the fact that it was unrated by, you know, no one under 17 will be admitted to see this film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really.
Yeah, you take the X rating and you use it to your advantage.
And they did, yeah, and it worked. Kids were freaking out. I remember the various movies that did that and Nightmare. I mean,
I remember. when I was underage, what year was Reanimator, Todd?
Oh, yeah, what was that, 83?
I think it 84? Might have been a little bit later. It might have been 84. Anyway, a of-age neighbor had taken me to see Reanimator, and they would not let us in because I was not of age. It was one of those like
– yeah, but that one was actually rated R, so that's not fair. You got ripped.
Even with an adult, you're not allowed.
The Gates of Hell was my favorite, you know.
No, wait. Reanimator was – no. Wait a minute.
Reanimator was actually rated R when it went theatrical. Yeah.
Was that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't kid
you. Then why wouldn't they let me in?
Because they were being douches to you. See what I mean? Trying to censor a kid from the good stuff. But where I was at, man, I could go down there and spend $7 and stay all day, and they didn't even care where I went. So I would go in and watch them all, man. I would go from Blazing Stewardesses over to Gates of Hell, then over to Driller Killer, Slumber Party Massacre. It didn't matter. I saw them all.
Wait a minute. I'm confused now. Are you sure that when it was released?
Yep. I wouldn't let you down, man. I promise you. They made a big deal when it came out on video. Vestron made a big deal. This is the unrated version with the infamous head scene intact. You know, it had like 3 extra seconds. He's like, yeah.
And isn't the unrated version shorter than the?
It is, but it's also gorier. So it's like they added a little bit of dialogue to make up for some of the missing gore scenes. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm totally confused because what happened was we were turned away. And we wound up going to see Commando, which I like better than Reanimator.
Ah!
But no. Do you see the absurdity there? It's like you can't go see Reanimator, but you can go watch Arnold Schwarzenegger throw saw blades into guys' faces.
Well, it's the fact that this is an independent underground horror movie that's going to rot your brain. But this is all American entertainment right here.
It's gorier than Reanimator.
It is, but it's all American.
Like guys getting their arms chopped off with machetes and stuff. I didn't see the difference. I was like, oh, this is great. And you know what? It's one of the funniest, best action movies ever made, so I'm glad I saw it. But back to Dawn of the Dead, because there were no Dawn of the Dead toys when we were kids, what I did is I had a couple of the old 70s SWAT toys. Remember the TV show SWAT?
Hell yes, yep.
Now, their outfits and their SWAT gear looked like Roger and Peter.
Yep.
So I had the African American SWAT guy and one of the Caucasian guys. I think there was only one black guy on the whole team. So it was the black guy and one of the white guys. And that was my Roger and Peter.
There you go.
I had my little Dawn of the Dead scenario when I was a kid.
I used to customize my Migos, which was the same kind of thing. I would get like the Bo or Luke Duke Mego figure or one of those guys, like you mentioned, the SWAT guys. And I would like go down and get my model kit paint and get my stuff together. And I'd go in and I would do crazy stuff. Like I'd carve little sections of their face out and paint them up so they would be zombies. And I'd make my own zombie figures. And
you were a creative kid, man.
You'd have to get like the yarn and dip it in latex and make your own entrails hanging out. It was great.
Wow, man. Wow. You were creative and demented.
All at the same time. Yeah.
I never did that. Well, I mean, I customized my Migos by sticking firecrackers in their joints.
No, no. And do you remember the monster ones?
Lighters to their face. That's how I lost thousands of dollars by destroying
my Migo
collection.
Golly.
You know what those would be worth today?
I have them. I have almost all of them. Some of them got messed up, so I had to go do some trading, and I got them back. I got like the removable mask Batman, the very first version with the metal joints, and that sucker's worth, $1,000. You know, it's really nice.
Always back to Batman.
But hey, I got to tell you about the Migos put out that monster, the Mad Monster collection. And they had the Dracula with the glow in the dark. The Wolfman was great. Do you remember the Wolfman? He had the snout and he looked like something from The Howling before there ever was a Howling.
Yeah, his eyes were huge and he had that he had a gray shirt on, like a gray top with like these furry cuffs.
I want to let you know, I have the original in my I have this little glass cabinet thing with all my Migos, and I have the original in there. But a couple of years ago, they re-released those figures, and they use the original molds, and they are identical in every detail. They are great.
They had a castle, too, for them.
Yeah, they never did re-release that, even though they did re-release that for the Star Trek guys, which was cool, the Enterprise. They did re-release the Migo Enterprise. Yeah, they've been kind of redoing a few of those things, and I'm really pleased about it, especially those monsters.
How close are they to the originals? I mean, they're identical?
Identical. They use the same molds. Now, with the Star Trek ones, they even made ones that never got made, like Sulu and stuff like that. They went in and made those because they were production prototypes, but they never got mass marketed or even went into production. So they got those molds and even made those. So that was really cool. And they made, like, the Gorn. They never did get the Gorn made. Well, they made it. And then they put out the original Enterprise Bridge, identical in every detail. They worked with a guy that owned Migo, and he went in and worked with these guys, and they've reproduced everything, including the Happy Days figures and the Mad Monster Party figures. And those, I can't stress enough, those will take you back, dude. Those will take you back. You get one of those.
Oh, that stuff's awesome, man. I mean, talk about, not hours, but weeks and months of pleasure we got out of these toys.
Years and years, man. I still do. That tells you.
That's one of my – if I ever become wealthy, and I know I will with this show, Movies Hate You on Jackalope. I know it's
sponsored by bmovie.com.
I know it's going to make me wealthy. It's going to make you wealthy. I know it is. And when that happens, I am going to go out and find all that original stuff I had, and I'm going to get it all mint in box, and display it, just like you.
That Mad Monster deal, I know I'm praying on it, but I'm trying to tell all of our listeners, if you were into them like we were, they also have the original packaging that they're coming in, the reproductions of the original packaging. The only difference is on the back of the box. They altered some of the artwork so, you know, people wouldn't try to pass them off as originals. But they are so identical in every detail because of the same molds, same kind of plastic. It's like, wow. I think they pretty much even have the same, down to every detail of the clothing. Everything is identical. It's really pretty freaky, man. I love them.
I've seen a couple of these custom Mego sites, and some of the stuff that people come up with is
it's amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cool, man. So there was like an Anton LaVey someone made. It was so killer, man.
I always liked the Freddy Krueger ones, you know. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff is great. I mean, it's so cool that people are still doing that.
We need a Rob Housechild Mego. So someone out there needs to make one of those.
Yes, exactly. And then I can stick firecrackers in. Or you can buy one. It's like a voodoo doll, and you can stick firecrackers in it, and I'll explode wherever I am.
Oh Lord!
When you get mad at something we say on the show here, I think that's great, man. I think there should also be a Pete bobblehead,
dude.
What about a Pete bobblehead?
Next time I go to Wasteland, I'm bringing it. I made a Pete action figure out of one of the World Wrestling guys that was like $3 at Walmart on clearance. It looks kind of like it's got Pete's hair and stuff. So I was like, I had to make my own Pete doll. It's great.
Does he know this?
I told him I was making it. I think he forgot, but I've got it.
You got to bring it. Have him sign it. You know,
that'd be great.
Can you stick pins in it?
Well, it's hard. It's plastic. You know, it's got cloth clothes, so you can stick pins in those, I guess.
Well, let me tell you, if you heat up the needles, believe me, I know all about everybody. You know, you horror guys know. You might know a lot about toys, but I know a lot about destroying toys. And if you heat up the needle, it'll go right in a little bit into the flesh and stick there. It won't go all the way through. I mean, it's hard plastic, but you can just break that surface and get that pin sticking in there.
That's true. That's true, man. You're destructive. You're a destructive guy.
I am. Everything I touch, just like this show, just explodes. It implodes.
Man. You bring it all down, man. You bring it all down.
Now I want Amigo. If Pete gets Amigo, I think every host on this station should get Amigo.
That's scary.
Yeah, man. I'm thinking it. What figure would you use for, let's say, would you use like Gene Simmons from Kiss for me or something?
No, I'd probably use Hutch from Starsky and Hutch, or maybe Starsky.
Okay. I can live with that. Do I get a cool car too?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Just don't put any Batman crap on me. I don't want a cow. I don't want anything.
Dude, I'm going to put a cape on you and all kinds of stuff.
Now, see that? Now you want me to go back to my old ways and burn it. Somebody made it was a Coffin Joe Mego. Did you ever see that one? And I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's ever an official Coffin Joe. Are you a Coffin Joe fan?
Eh, you know, Coffin Joe.
Coffin Joe. Yeah, what? You don't like Coffin Joe?
He coughs a lot.
What a jerk. The man who went to see Phantom Menace in 3D doesn't like Coffin Joe. Mr. Horror.
I do, but at the same time, I'm frustrated because you know why? Because the distribution is so crap, you can't get any of his movies.
Something weird.
Yeah, but why aren't they? I mean, you know what? And the other problem with living in Kansas City is if I send something away, I try to get it in the mail, dude, it's a nightmare. I have to pay like $30 airmail just to get stuff on my door because the regular mail takes, they say 2 days, it's going to take a week. It's just horrible.
From China? From where?
All I want to do is go down to my local Hastings and pick up Embodiment of Evil. And they've got all the rest of the titles, but they said they can't get that one from them. They've tried.
Yeah, but so isn't that part of the fun is searching the stuff down?
It used to be. See, that's the thing I used to love. You've hit another subject that's a really weird thing for me, a passionate thing, because I love what I call treasure hunting. But what gets old is when you go out treasure hunting because you're like Indiana Jones, you got the whip, you got the hat, you got your coat on, you're ready to rock, but you never bring home any treasure because A, it's been taken by all the a-holes and they're selling it on eBay for $752.10 per item, or B,
like your tapes,
it doesn't even show up at the stores. So you're it's really gotten to the point where a 99-cent Batmobile causes me great distress, and I have to threaten some guy and like almost tear him up right there in the middle of the
party. Oh, jeez.
But you know why? He sits. What would you do? I've been looking for a Batmobile for 6 months. This guy's in the aisle looking at Batmobiles. I'm like, oh, dude, you found a Batmobile. Is there more of those? He goes, I've got about 100 of them in my basement. I said, are you kidding me? He goes, I can't get rid of them now, man. I got like 100, 150 of them. I moved some of them on eBay. I looked at this guy. I said, you should leave now. You should leave now because I'm going to take you out. I was like, you're a jerk. You're the guy that's doing it. Little kids don't even get toys anymore. This guy's a jerk. Yeah, later on, I saw that same guy taking a Princess Leia figure out of a little kid's hand. It was really nice.
Now, are you serious
now? I'm serious. I am serious. Yes, true story. That day, that was the last day he was in the store. That was the last day he went to that store.
Are you kidding?
No, I took him out. I took him to the parking lot, and we had it out. So, yeah, that was bad.
But wait, this is America. Can't the man make a buck if he wants to?
You know what? There's a difference. You got to have integrity. You got to have honor, and you do not take a toy out of the hands of a child. Otherwise, I get to slap you.
What if the store made a limit? You can only buy five.
Actually, I got him to do that. I made him have a better limit than that. One per customer of each collectible item. Yeah, I got mad.
Oh, who determines what's collectible and who's not? What's not?
You kind of know. If you work in these stores, and I've worked at Toys R Us for years and KB Toys and a bunch of places, you know immediately there's the Hot Wheel guys, there's the Star Wars guys, there's the all-around eBay guys who get all the stuff. There's the G.I. Joe guys, and there's the superhero guys. You know them. You see them when they're coming in. Mm. And there's the sports guys who are seriously twisted. I'm beginning to wonder what they're doing with those 462 Joe Namath McFarlane Toys action figures when they get home at night because there's seriously something wrong with them. I think they jammed Joe Namath in their anus.
They're selling them on eBay.
I thought that too, but the guy's like, no. He rubs it on his face. I love this figure. I said, you bought 12 of those, dude. I've watched you. He's taking it home, and he's jamming it up his butt, and he's breaking off the head, so he has to go buy a new one.
No, he's not. He's telling you he loves Joe Namath, so you don't know he's a dealer. That's a classic dealer trick.
I know.
I'm just an Uber fan.
He was a dealer. And the funny thing is, when I go on eBay and I look up these items, it's like there's this guy, and he's got like he's got like 12 of them listed on there. And you can go into the seller thing, and you're like, hey, man, you know, all right, where are you located? Blah, blah. It might be easier shipping if I just, you know, if I know someone by there. Oh, no. Half the time, they're right here in Missouri, dude. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're right here in Missouri, and you're selling a Batmobile that's a 99-cent toy for $24. Yes, I know those guys. And then I find them.
is someone buying it? That's the thing.
Oh, God. I don't know. But it sure makes. But see, what happens is other scabs take a look at that. They go, hey, that guy's selling that for $24. And they rush out to their local Walmart and take every Batmobile. I mean, it's gotten to the point. And the magazines make it worse. You got Action Figure Times or whatever magazine out there, you know, whichever one, Action Figure Digest, whatever. And they all have the price guide. And that makes it worse because they tell you what to be on the lookout. Hey, this month, Darth Maul's really hot. He's a triple dollar sign, which means, hey, you might get some money for this guy. All of a sudden, this is a true story. That magazine comes out on a Monday. 1 week later, you can't find a Darth Maul in the whole Kansas City area because the meth heads are trying to sell it at the antique mall.
Oh, I mean,
look where we've gone. Look, you've set me off too many times tonight. Your show's over, and you haven't even got to talk.
I like that. My show's not over yet.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's all right. No. That's what I love about this show is it can go anywhere at any time. And if you haven't noticed, Mr. Ree's not with us tonight.
Yeah, I miss Mr. Ree. I'm doing too much talking.
I miss Mr. Ree too. He called out sick today, so to speak. You know, he's taking a break for this week. But he'll be back.
Yes.
Don't worry, guys. Mr. Ree will always be back.
At least we hope so.
Yeah, Mr. Ree had to do something very important. We don't know what that is.
Poor Mr. Ree.
No, it's not poor Mr. Ree. He needs a little break. The truth is I sent him to DVD review school, okay? And he'll be back better than ever.
I hope so.
Yeah, of course.
I'll be missing Mr. Ree.
He doesn't miss us. Why should we miss him?
That's because he's probably having a good night. He's probably like partying. That's why he called in. He's having a Mr. Ree Chinese rock and roll party in the street.
He's out on a date. No, he's probably at a Knicks game watching Linsanity or something.
He's having a knockdown, drag out, rock and roll Chinese party in the street.
It's funny, after you know all this Linsanity that's going on with the Knicks, and I'm not a sports person necessarily, but Mr. Ree, has been giving me a little more attitude than usual.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little Asian-American backlash from this whole insanity thing.
I think you're right.
And you know, where did this guy come from anyway? You know, do you deal with conspiracies on Night Watch?
Of course we do. But I got to tell you, I like if I had to like a basketball player, I like this guy.
Okay, see? There you go. There's the conspiracy.
I like him. He's a very likable chap.
There's the conspiracy. Get it?
I don't get it. What's up?
What do you mean you don't get it? You're a conspiracy guy.
Yeah, but...
You're an expert. Okay, here's the conspiracy. Now, we all know China's a up-and-coming world superpower, right? There is a general... No, listen. There's a general kind of feeling about Asian-American males that's a stereotype. And it's not true, but outside of Bruce Lee... Asian-American men aren't looked at as, you know, the same as like Arnold Schwarzenegger or action heroes.
I've always looked at them that way.
It's a different thing. I have too. And I'm this is not for us, this conspiracy. This is for America. What if the Chinese government has planted this guy in cahoots with the American government, planted this guy. Guy comes out of nowhere and he's beating our top NBA players. For years, he's just walking past them. This guy's like some kind of superhuman robot thing that they've placed into the situation, so that our opinion of Asian Americans read China would become positive and not negative. Like, oh, made in China now, blah blah, China. You know, now we love China. Oh yeah, Lin, we love it. We love China, and that's when they take us over. Do you see? Right.
No.
I feel it, man. Yeah, you know what? Take that, throw it out.
Lin wasn't born in China. He was born in California.
That's part of the. Oh God, this guy. It's as if you never knew anything about conspiracies.
I do know about him, but let me tell you the story. I also happened to.
Can you get this information to Alex Jones for me?
I happen to know that. Chinese basketball players are pretty amazing. If you've ever watched Chinese basketball games, they're pretty damn adept and amazing. And there is a philosophy.
Against each other.
Against America, they would be pretty amazing too, because you have to look at the way their training regimen, the way they get into things. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but the same mentality that goes into the perfection of martial arts goes into the perfection of this sport for them, the basketball sport. And I got this movie, Slam Dunk, Kung Fu Slam Dunk, which is a Jay Chou flick. But it kind of shows the competitiveness. I mean, even though it's a movie, you'd be amazed at the stuff these guys can do. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. I look at it and I'm like, I don't even like basketball, and I'm watching this movie going, this movie rocks. You know, because yeah. It's like you just kind of feel – and I feel the same way about all American sports figures pretty much. I mean, unless they're drunk and stupid. Most of them, I think, you know – are definitely hardworking, and I give respect for the dedication and the dexterity it takes to be a sports figure. But I also am telling you that, you know, well, let's be honest. A lot of these guys, they want the big dollars. Once they get it, they become lazy. They become complacent. These Chinese dudes aren't like that, man. They're not getting the $12 billion Nike deals. They're coming out there, and they're whooping people's butts. And that's pretty amazing to watch.
It's like I'm talking to a trader.
Not at all.
No, I mean, if I was, let's say, a very, you know, gung-ho, patriotic American, which may or may not be, but it would seem like you were already converted, that the conspiracy has worked on you, if that was indeed a conspiracy.
It worked on me years ago once I saw how amazing Chinese cinema was with the Shaw Brothers.
This is completely different. You see, that was like first wave attempt. Like, we'll send all this kung fu stuff over there and see what happens.
Well, then they got banned from every Walmart in the country because they're Buddhists, God forbid, and the Baptists wouldn't have it.
Then we got Bruce Lee out of that. Now, what happens? Bruce Lee kind of turns on China, and he dies. Right. See?
Turn on him?
He kind of turns on China.
How did he do that?
He kind of turns his back on China.
He never did.
He wouldn't go back again and make another movie.
Yes, he was getting ready to when he died. What are you talking about?
That's what they say. You know, anything can be created.
He already started production.
Think anything could be created after.
Oh my!
If there was any true respect for Bruce Lee, Robert Klaus would have never made Game of Death. You know, I mean, that was, you know, that was, I mean, my 10-year-old brain knew that was a, I was being hoodwinked when I saw that movie without even knowing the story. Anyway, I think this is all bigger than you're ready to deal with, Todd. I think this conspiracy is just in its beginning stages, and that eventually you'll come around and see that there might be something to this. Speaking of conspiracies, let's talk about the conspiracy before you throw me off the air, rightly so. Let's talk about the conspiracy to get your money. The conspiracy to get your money is something called Phantom Menace in 3D.
Get out of here.
And it got your money. Now, I'm fascinated because I hope that this creates a trend. I hope that now we're going to see Hudson Hawk in 3D, or, you know, From Justin to Kelly in 3D, or, you know, movies that really don't deserve a re-release getting one. I hope that this has opened the doors.
Hello, there are parts of this movie. Now let me tell you, I'm going to give you my full critique. Okay, Phantom Menace, perfect movie, not hardly entertaining. Yes, however, flawed, very
failed.
Flawed. Now let me
failed.
Give you. You want my review of this 3D thing or not?
I don't want it. I want to amaze at the fact that you felt. First of all, the least interesting Star Wars film ever made. Why that one? Why do that? Why not put out Episode 1 or
Episode 4?
Episode 4 in 3D. Why not put out Episode
I felt
4
the same
in
way.
Black and white? Why not put Phantom Menace in the garbage where it belongs?
Let me tell you something, okay? I personally, as a fan of the series, my favorite was always The Empire Strikes Back, so of course I wanted them to start with Episode 4, 5, and 6 like we originally saw them. The reason they're not is because even though you and I may have problems with Phantom Menace, and you obviously a lot more than me because I only have a problem with a few select things and I find magic in some of the other things. Let me tell you something. George.
It would take magic to make that a film.
If George wanted to make the money, George could have released 4, 5, and 6 first and been – they would have been the largest 3D movies in the history of film, and that would have been the end of it, okay? There's no question. But George was trying to show them in the order that the true fans could see from 1 through 6.
Oh,
and
the true fans.
The new kid – a lot of kids. My son loved The Phantom Menace as a kid.
It's mind-boggling that – he released them because he loves the fans so much, which we know he doesn't.
He does.
But, well, that's debatable.
True fans. I'm not talking about these wannabes.
Okay. Forget about Lucas. I don't really care about his money or what he's trying to do with money. Whether he did it for money or he did it out of being a fan, anybody can watch those movies in order, any order they want, any time. It's not about, I wanted to release them in the order. This is all nonsense. Okay, he wanted to play with 3D because he's a gearhead, and he wanted to mess around and see what he could do with his stuff. He's tinkering again. Did he add any scenes to this?
I was hoping he would remove some.
Why wouldn't you? No. Forget it. Forget Jar Jar Binks. I know everybody wants him removed. There should have been some action in the movie. I mean,
there is.
You have a Star Wars movie. You wait 30 years. You come back with Star Wars, and there's one lightsaber battle in the whole movie.
That's the reason he did this. See, that's what you don't get, and no one gets this. But Lucas was told, millions of people, what is a Clone Wars? Why did Star Wars begin? How did it start? We need to know. On and on and on. People just harp. So the man was in a no-win situation. So he goes out and he makes a movie. This is how it began. He was trying to come up with this cool story, and parts of it are freaking imaginative and awesome, but other parts of it are just dull. I absolutely love the first trilogy. I love the first one. I love The Empire Strikes Back is one of the greatest movies of all time. That movie moves me every time I watch it. I can't wait to see it in 3D because I've been asking for this since I was a kid. I wish those were in 3D, and it's going to be.
I mean, is he really doing all of them in 3D?
He is, and I'm very excited about it. You know, and the thing about it, and you know, a lot of people didn't like the second one. I saw the second one in two different versions. They had the original version in the theaters, and they had the IMAX version, which kind of got rid of some of the romantic crap with Padme and Anakin, and you got like this cool extra fight scenes in the big IMAX. That was incredibly awesome, by the way. That honestly was a thrilling movie in IMAX. It was. And then part three, Dude, I loved part three. There were flaws, again, but I loved it. I loved it because it was what I wanted it to be, and it was great. Of course, I'm also the guy, though, that watches Clone Wars, and I got the Blu-rays of the Clone Wars series because I love that TV series. Even though it's a kid's series on the Cartoon Network, it's also aimed at those of us that love the universe. So I love that series. And so you're kind of talking to the wrong guy if you're going to dog Star Wars, because I love the stuff, you know?
I can't dog Star Wars. I can't dog Batman. I can't dog Star Trek. I mean, you know. You know, I'm very open to everything, though.
I don't really dog anything.
I'm not dogging Star Wars. I'm dogging The Phantom Menace. You understand?
Right.
I'm not saying Star Wars is without merit. I was as obsessed as any kid when it came out. I have all the toys. It's not like, oh, I don't understand Star Wars. I don't get it. Blah blah blah. Like a chick would say or something. You know, like, it's not that. I get it. I get the hero's journey.
You would be like the worst date ever.
I get Joseph Campbell. I get it. But the Phantom Menace and the two pieces of trash that followed are not Joseph Campbell. Those are not. He's not following the blueprint anymore. He did it right the first time and then thought he could do anything.
I like part two and three.
And it's not
going to
be any better in 3D. There were moments in those two, but there's still everything's still. It's too busy. It's just too much, and it winds up being flat because of that.
I don't know. I just disagree, and that's okay because that's why we're good friends. Is because we can disagree and respect each other. But I actually,
who says we're friends after this? I'm not friends after this.
I love the second and third one, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them in 3D because I'm one of the guys that asked for it.
Well, good for you. Thanks. You just made him some money. Thanks for shilling for George Lucas.
I'm not trying to make him money. I wanted to see these. I asked for them, you know?
You personally asked him for them.
I personally was one of the people who wrote to him and said, I really would love to see these in 3D.
You did not write to George Lucas, did you?
Yes, I did.
You're a grown man. Do that again. Jesus, what is it with you people, you fans, with these stupid movies? They're just freaking stupid movies.
Hey.
He doesn't care. He's making them for himself. He doesn't care about you.
He does, though. That's the cool thing.
You forgot what show you were on, man. This ain't the, like, yeah, let's masturbate and talk about horror movies. This ain't that show, man. Everybody's on trial here, including me.
You're kind of losing it a little, Rob. I'm starting to worry about you.
First, you don't believe my conspiracies. Then you're gonna, and on top of it, the genre lost one of its best recently.
I know, yeah. But you don't even want to talk about that. You just want to rant and rave and dog out Star Wars.
I do want to talk about it. Whitney Houston was one of the best actresses we've ever had.
What are you talking about, Whitney Houston? I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about Bill Hinesman.
The guy from Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, he's the one who passed away. To hell with the other thing. Everyone's talking about Whitney.
Nobody's talking about Whitney on this station. Everybody's talking about Bill Hinesman on this station.
That's
the difference here. That's the difference here. Oh, you never saw The Bodyguard? You never saw Waiting to Exhale, Todd? You didn't like that? You didn't like The Preacher's Wife? You didn't like it? These are solid movies, man. And
I will always love movies hate you.
Ah, there you go. Now, can you somehow take that her song and then put that in there?
Do you know that's Dolly Parton's song, by the way? And everyone, I'm so mad. All these TV stations, it was Whitney's greatest achievement. No, it was Dolly's greatest achievement. She just let Whitney sing it. She gave it to her and said, I love your voice. Will you sing this?
So what? That doesn't matter.
Dolly wrote it. Give her some credit. Say it was a beautiful rendition of Dolly Parton's amazing song.
Dolly's got her own thing going on, man. She's got a freaking theme park. She doesn't need...
Dolly's got Rhinestone, okay? Budweiser, you created a monster.
So let's give Neil Sedaka credit for every song he ever... I mean, come on, man.
I would. And they called him Drinkenstein.
Get out of here, man.
I'm still on the Dolly Parton and Rhinestone kick now.
Well, listen, give some credit to Whitney Houston, would you? You know, I know other people died, but
I will.
You know, there are what are there, 17 horror shows on this station now? So let them talk about Bill Hinesman. I'm sorry we lost him. Rest in peace, ghoul. An inspiration to all of us.
See?
But we also lost another actress that nobody wants to talk about. I think it's racist.
What are you talking about? Everyone's talking about her.
I think it's racist.
There's nothing racist about our show. Give me a break.
I'm surprised people forgave Bill for that 30th anniversary edition stuff, man.
Man, come on.
Come on, man. Come on. Why? Because everybody dissed him. Well, wow. Now he's dead. Everybody's like, oh, no, that was all right. Yeah, it was okay.
I didn't care about any of that. I just liked him as a dude.
Yeah. Let's see what they say about John Russo when he goes. John Russo is the best guy.
Well, I'll tell you something. John Russo
is the best guy in the world.
John Russo wouldn't even come to our tribute.
He kissed me on the cheek. John Russo, sort of good man. He's a lie. So everybody's like, oh, he's a jerk.
The only thing I got to say about John is I've always got along with him, but I'm really disappointed he wouldn't come to our Bill Heinsohn tribute, and he said he was going to be there, and he just turned his phone off.
Hey, man, the guy's busy, dude.
Busy doing what?
Being a legend. He doesn't have to show up to everything.
Then don't tell us you're going to show up. Just say, okay, I mean, I can't be there.
Maybe he has a stomach problem.
Well, let's hope that's what it was, because I thought that was kind of crappy not to even give us a minute and a half.
Well, I don't know the politics of the Night of Living Dead people. I know there are some issues there between groups and people. I don't know who's with who
or who's
mad at who.
And I don't care because I like them all.
I was lucky enough. Seriously now, forget about Whitney Houston for a second, who will be buried minutes from here, who was buried yesterday minutes from here.
I was going to say, hold on.
Yeah, well, I have to sometimes figure what dimension I'm in. But I had the extreme pleasure and honor to, as my duties as a honcho at Wild Eye Releasing, to release a film called Night of the Living Dead Reanimated, which some of you might like or know, or some of you might hate.
It's brilliant.
And thrown in the garbage. Thank you. I like it. It's a kind of a 50-50 thing. You either like, love it, or you can't. Won't get through it. And I love that. And I love torturing you with that. Do you understand that? When you hate my movie, I like that. So you're not hurting me. Okay? Todd, whoever.
I love that movie. What are you saying? I'm not being mean
right,
to that
Griff,
movie.
Griff, you hearing me?
Griff probably likes it too.
Is he there in the studio?
He's outside waiting for me to come get him when you're done.
I heard he was calling me out on the boards, on the Jackalope board on Facebook this week. He was looking for me. He wanted to know who I was.
He probably wanted to say hi to you.
He doesn't remember. Yeah, but of course, everybody else made a big deal. Oh, are you guys going to fight? Blah, blah, is there a server? Yeah, awesome. We're not fighting. Griff's my man.
He wanted to say hello.
Griff bought me dinner at Cinema Wasteland, if he remembers. He bought me dinner. I'll owe him forever. I'll never forget that. The guy didn't know me. I just met him, and he bought me a steak dinner at Cinema Wasteland.
He's a good guy.
Kind enough. Yeah, he bought me and Pete, and I think you were there too, weren't you?
Yes, I was, but I didn't let him buy me a steak dinner because I was eating something else.
You were gone somewhere else.
Yeah, but I was there, and I hung out with you guys.
You were up in your room eating.
I think I was playing the PSP.
That's
I was playing
for,
my Star Wars game.
That's code for a little hot chick came around.
Whatever, I was playing Star Wars, and I can prove it. Henry was in
the
room.
I know how you guys get at these conventions, man, you horror guys. It's all about getting laid. Don't BS me.
Right.
Seeing those girls with the tattoos on their neck and face coming in with the piercings in their face. Oh, I love Parasite with Lana Quigley. It's one of my favorite movies. And you guys get all, you see your faces turning red. And you're like, oh, a girl who likes Parasite. I'm in love. Anyway.
2 minutes.
2 minutes, your butt. All right. So where were we? Bill Heinsohn. I was really, seriously, I had the honor of releasing Night of the Living Dead Reanimated. And seeing Bill, the archetype zombie, the one from which every other zombie has spawned, his shuffling and his demeanor is imitated. Every time somebody puts on that makeup and throws on a flannel shirt and bites somebody's neck open in a backyard movie, Bill Heinsohn is there speaking through them. So he lives forever. So to hell with all of you. But I got to work with this material that had Bill Heinsohn rendered like by 150 different artists. So everybody had this different rendition of him. And in some, he looked very handsome and kind of debonair. Other ones, he was like gross. And he was a puppet in another one. And if you get a chance to ever see our movie, and even if you have to go download it for free and watch Night of the Living Dead Reanimated, you should see it just to watch the opening sequences with all the different artists who did their tribute. Some of them, you know, in their 20s who weren't even around, you know, who were just new to this, the Night of the Living Dead and as a classic, doing their renditions of Bill as the graveyard zombie. And it's a great thing. And I'm really proud to have worked on that material and kind of worked, you know, with Bill without ever meeting him. You know, that was really, really fantastic.
Bill was right there with you, though, at Cinema Wasteland. I thought you did get to meet him.
We never, you know, we didn't have the project done at that point. We were just kind of starting to promote it. And because of the, I had heard that some of the people involved in Night of the Living Dead weren't really too keen on us doing it, you know, kind of taking their public domain movie, taking the public domain soundtrack and putting our own visuals over it. Although the project's a nonprofit project, and it wasn't done with the intention of becoming millionaires, you know, and it's in fact free for download in a lot of places, you know, or you can buy a, you know, double DVD edition with all the extras and stuff on it. You know, there's many different ways you could see it. We're not, it wasn't a financial, strictly financial endeavor, you know, just wanting to break even basically and donate the rest to art. So, but we had heard that there was a little bit of kind of grumbling about us doing this. So we didn't approach, we decided not to approach them. Because at one point you talked about, hey, let's get Bill and John and whoever we can to do like commentary on it.
Bill and probably would have done it. That's a cool thing about him.
Yeah, he might have. And I'm sorry that I never got to meet him and talk to him about the project or about the stuff he's done. I'm a big Flesh Eater fan, and I was when it was on VHS as Return of the Living Zombies or Revenge of the Living Zombies. I forget. It was a Return or Revenge?
Revenge
of the Living Zombies. Been a fan since then of that movie, and that just came out on Blu-ray, believe it or not.
I got it.
Yeah, awesome. I think that was Shriek Show. But, you know, regardless, and The Majorettes is a great movie. So here's somebody who, you know, is known for this one thing, but was a filmmaker and was an independent filmmaker and was a hustler like the rest of us who were trying to do these little things with no money and our friends and get stuff out there. So I have total respect for what he left behind and who he was.
Awesome. I think that's a great way to end it, Rob.
It's a great way to end it. I think we'll wrap it up. Todd, thank you so much, man. This was like back to basics episode, man. Just you and me, no guests, no Mr. Ree getting in the way with his stupid reviews. We just broke it down.
Me rambling on for no reason
at
all.
So what? I just rambled on for 10 minutes. Talking about the stuff we love, talking about the stuff we hate, debating, but walking away from it, better people for it and more knowledgeable and all that. Better fans. We're better fans for it now, man.
Probably.
And you're going to have to edit me down, man. You have to get rid of me here.
Yeah, because you're 2 minutes over.
Hey, man, 2 minutes? What's 2 minutes in the grand scheme of life? Huh? 2 minutes for Bill Hinesman? I say you'll make it fit.
I will.
Thank you. All right.
I'll cut out your Star Wars rant.
You know, I cut out everything bad I said about Phantom Menace. I know you will. I'll be listening to this show in the archives. I'll be listening, and I'll have my lawyer listening to the show. Okay? You've met Mr. Cohen, haven't
I've
you?
I've met Vinnie Boombatz, yeah.
That's my doctor. Now you're the you're Mr. Cohen.
That's right.
Mm. Oh, and Lord. Mr. Patel, my accountant. Yo, just wait till you meet these guys. Movies Hate You. That's who we are. I am Rob Housechild. You could say that however you want. It's been butchered my whole life. Todd Sheets, our producer and co-host today on this magical movie journey.
Thank you.
Down memory lane. And we're sponsored by bmovie.com. Email us at movieshateyou@gmail.com if you want or if you don't. Thank you so much, all you blood-sucking freaks, for joining us.